It's going. That's a good way to always start it. Oh, yeah. It's going.
They're used to that by now. They've heard 100 of those. Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. Oh, yeah, it's working. But it's like, what, it must be Wednesday? And it's,
what is it?
Wednesday, January 23rd.
Yes. Is it 23rd?
2025th.
Oh.
2025th.
January. We're good. What do you have?
Well, I've been thinking a lot. Of course, we've been talking about the like in John 16:13, where it says, where Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. And in Acts 8, I think it's 8:31, when Philip came up to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he asked him, he said, what are you reading? And he was reading out of Isaiah. And Philip says to him, he says, I had to hear this before I caught it. Philip said, well, do you understand it? And he says, how can I understand it unless somebody should guide me? And so anyway, I looked up the word guide, and I can't come up with anything in the dictionary that's anything other than directing or opening the door or something like that. And I got thinking about my experience. One morning I hear a voice, and the voice is not real plain. The voice says, if you're serious, and if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Explain that to me. What did I just hear? Did I hear supernatural revelation and all kinds of things? You know what? I didn't. I heard something that was guiding me towards something. I was being guided. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I was being guided towards something. And what the Holy Spirit has done with us, for us, and that's what He wants to do, is He lets you, in a way, He lets you figure it out. But he sets it up so you can figure it out. And so you can take credit for it, or you can sit and realize that God is behind this, setting it up to set the stage. What did it take to figure out that if you want to find God, where do you look? Does that take a lot of hard, you know? I mean, with me, it's like, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and I did. I thought, I've never found Him where I was looking. I got to look for Him where He is. Well, where is He? The Bible, or the voice didn't say you got to look in the Bible. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but as I have looked at a lot of these other things, like it's not that the Holy Spirit did not lead us and guide us and help us and bring us into the truth, because He has. But He sets it up in such a way so that when we get it, we got it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We get it. And that's what has happened to us. If you continue in My word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay, so if you continue in His word, what's going to happen? Why didn't you hear it once and that's it? You got it. Holy Spirit just gave it to you, and there you are. Are you following what I'm saying?
I've asked the same question many times.
Yeah. Why don't we get it the first time? Because He is guiding us to this scripture, and to this scripture, and to this scripture. into this scripture, and pretty soon you get it. Does he reveal it? Of course he reveals it. But it's a process that and that's where people don't want to take the time to do that. Mm-hmm. People don't want to listen to the scriptures until the scriptures are in them. God says, I will write my word, you know, my laws on your heart and in your minds and so forth. And that's what's happening to us. They're being written in us. But it's a process of time. And I think that we have kind of almost got the idea that it's going to be hardly any effort. It's not any effort on our part. If we love God, if we really want the truth, it's not an effort. How does that scripture say, don't say that it is a burden to serve the Lord? You guys are familiar with that one. Don't say that it's a burden. It's not a burden. It should never be a burden to pray or to serve God or to, you know what I mean? It shouldn't be. But it is a burden to some people because they don't have the revelation or the desire or a lot of things. So I'm saying that the process of us getting information into us, it's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit, He doesn't give us a scripture and then we got it. It's a process of, it's like the sower that is sowing the seeds. And not a lot of it falls on the fertile soil. But you know what my thing is? If that soil is worked up and fertilized and watered and whatever else, almost any soil can become fertile, can it? Or can it? Hmm. Am I off in
la-la
land again?
No. I guess if it's given nutrients, yes.
Yeah, but
you know, I mean...
But that is an interesting concept.
I mean,
you could have, so it's typically people indicate that's referring to a condition of the heart. Well, that's not stagnant. I mean, if you're going down your walk, hopefully your heart's getting more and more open to God and more accepting, and so you can receive more and more. So you could say, so the soil, you know, take an unbeliever to a believer and a believer to a fervent believer. That could be an example of the soil was so-so, but it kept at it and then it became a place where the roots go deep. I never thought about, you know, it's like, here's the four categories and which bucket you fall into. Not that this is kind of a moving thing. You know, you can harden your heart or you can open your heart. And I'm sure that's probably closer to what's going on. So I...
Yeah. I haven't been able to shake that word. You know, of course, I'm good at stuff like that, but...
Well, you know, my reaction to that was, you know, we have the ability. I mean, the Holy Spirit can guide us. If we'll let them. I mean, we can go, don't want to, not taking that on, not accepting that.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Huh?
I'm not sure what that was. But, you know, so, and I think it's important that you have a decision in that, I mean, whether you're going to be guided. You can have a guide, and he can say, we got to go left, and you go, no, we're going to go right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could ignore the guide.
Well, the thing about it is that we are an awful lot of help to each other. Or we're an awful lot of damage to each other. You know what I mean? We can be the thing, but if God has a people that really want the truth and want him, then he's slowly going to bring them to a place of, just like the revelation of the humanity of Christ. That's a major revelation. It's not a little revelation. That's a biggie. And you know what else about it? It'll get your head cut off.
You know, about the Holy Spirit being, you know, you have to let the Holy Spirit. I suppose, even if you don't let him, Holy Spirit, that's what he wants to do too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there.
You have to be willing to, but I suppose the Holy Spirit will get you out of any condition. If you are, if your name is written in the Book of Life, you can't do nothing against it, really. Mm-hmm. You know, but no, absolutely, you have to be willing for the Holy Spirit. But even if you're not willing, you are out of luck, because the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Well, and that's a trap I fall into a lot, because I mean, if there are plenty of examples in Scripture where God hardened His heart,
right.
So, I don't know if he chose to or not, but the end result was
right.
God hardened his heart, or God made it such that he chose he chose the direction that God wanted him to go.
Mm-hmm. the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Jesus
what?
Says...
I'm confused. What were what?
As a Ephesians 6:17.
Okay, the what?
The sword.
Oh, the sword.
The sword of
yes,
the Spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Oh, you said sword. So
yeah, okay. But yes.
And so, in Hebrews 4:12, it tells us that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. That vision that Twyla had years ago, she saw me with a sword in the back of the church, whacking people with it, just cutting people. People were bleeding, and people were leaving, and there weren't a lot of people that were left. And when she we had a copy of it, and she read it, and she cried. She said, "She just cried," and then she went home. You know, oops.
What?
We'll see how that comes out. I'll let you know how that comes out.
Can you do something with it?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So, anyways. You know, you just said something a minute ago I was going to comment on. You know, our experience while we've been on this walk since that revelation is we look at a scripture, and we kind of see it, and then 6 months later we look at that same scripture and we see it, but we see something a little bit different or a little bit more, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, you made the comment about the Holy Spirit and He guides you, but it's kind of like, well, you're going along, and then, you know, then there's another time and you notice new things and it comes deeper. I mean, the first time we read some of Hebrews 4, you know, 10 and 12, and as you shared this week, it's like, well, wait, you got to go back and look at this whole setting, and you kind of go, yeah. Oh, we read that, I don't know, more than twice, right? Then you go, and you go, and then you read it, and then you go, oh, where did this come from? And you know, that's how I point out to myself, the Holy Spirit is continually working.
And it's not that we can take an ounce of credit. We can take no credit for it.
Yeah, because we're not doing it.
No, there's not any credit we can take.
We're not doing
it. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit sets us up. There's a scripture in 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. And that's kind of like, you know, the sower went out to sow the seed. And we're born again by God's Word. But how do we get there? especially today, how do you get there? The church system is hung up on the translations. Well, which translation should I go by? Well, which one is the right one? Well, which one is truth and which one, you know what I mean? What is what? And so people spend lifetimes confused over what translation they should use instead of realizing that for the most part the old line translations are all about the same. People don't know that. How long did it take me? It took me a long time before, you know what did it? I started seeing so many of them were saying the same thing, like 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. They all said the same thing. Or,
oh, it's the one we just checked the other day, John 16:13.
Yeah, this one here.
Guide.
They all say that he will guide you. And I don't know how many translations you checked that in, but
28 of them, and 24 of them said that. One yeah. said reveal, and the other three said something like lead or something. It was, but nothing. There was only one that was one of the 20 that was slightly off, or just a little different.
But even though he reveals the truth, he guides us in defining it. And the Word of God is where you find it. Mm-hmm. And you don't find it when you're hung up over translations. You have to have something concrete. And see, that's what's happened to us. You got the New King James. It's good. And I get, you know, it doesn't matter to me which one I use now, because I'm realizing the major issues. Like 2 Thessalonians 2:10, where it says, because they received not a love for the truth. That's pretty much the same every one of them. The major issues are the same.
I've got a couple scriptures here that I really highlighted. And I think it's the first time that Jesus refers to the, you know, the helper or the comforter.
Yeah.
I'll start in 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. For the Spirit of... No, it doesn't say for. Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's quite a what would you say, a gift or whatever. I mean, that Spirit of truth is in you and dwells with you and will be with you forever.
Yeah, that was a setting where if you look at that and you go, God within me.
Yeah.
That's the one that says, you know, because I was saying, I kind of said, there's no way God can be in me. I'm flesh. I'm not good. I'm imperfect. And then I read this and went, well, no, kind of says he will be. He is. And I kind of changed. And so.
Yeah, because in 20, all that, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
You know, it says a lot. Then in 26 it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So, mm-hmm. I mean, guide is a really good word, but it's all, you know, he's going to do everything it takes for you to get the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But by guiding us, unless we're up on the, know what we're doing, or, you know, or listening, we can easily get thinking that we find it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying? And we don't.
Yeah.
And flesh wants to take that on anyways. It's all about us.
I was thinking when you were back there talking about in Hebrews 4, you know, so that part before enter his rest, and or it's talking about the rest and how they didn't. You know, that see that no, the church doesn't want to hear today that they could be disobedient. So when you read that, you're always thinking about all them God's people back in the Old Testament. Well, why is it being said in the New Testament? You know?
Yeah.
Why is the illustration there? And then why does it end up where you're supposed to be being divided by the Word of God? Well, you aren't going to be divided by the Word of God if you don't care about the Word of God. You know? Or if you don't believe it's the most important thing to being righteous and holy and sanctified, then it won't do any work in you.
Yeah.
And you are disobedient, you know?
It's the inconvenient truth.
Yes.
That
and I wouldn't have wanted to hear all that 20 years ago.
No. Yeah, because unless you're in the right place, you just don't want to hear that. You can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard. It's hard to say, yep, start now, but you never attain this. But you, as long as you're looking, you're going to get there. But.
See, how many of us would have listened to a guy if he'd have come into our congregation about 20 years ago, maybe 23, whatever, and said, you know, you guys got to stop listening to each other. You got to start listening to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You got to quit listening to the teachers and the da-da-da. Man, he'd been out of there so fast.
Fast one-way trip.
Yeah.
Because the response would have been, these people are listening to God.
Yeah, we are. What do you mean we're not?
Yeah.
God, that about it.
Yeah. No, it's exactly right.
We got some of the best teachers there is.
Just ask us.
Yeah.
We'll tell you. We'll tell you. Absolutely. Hands down. Man, I must have heard that 100 times.
Yeah.
Oh.
What are you doing, Keith? You posing for a picture, or are you going to read us something?
In John 16:27, you know, it's sometimes you run into a scripture and you read it slow several times. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Mm-hmm. I came forth from the Father and I'm come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. It's like that's almost one that that would argue against the virgin birth or the, you know what I mean? He came out from God, but it's like we can't think in the dimension that he's talking here. The words that I speak are spirit and they're life. So when he says this, it almost sounds like it. He just came out from God, and here he is. But he did. He came out from God, being born as he was. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it is. I'm thinking.
You know, the New King James says, "I have believed that I came forth from God." And then the next verse, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world.
Yeah, which is good, but better.
Well, I think it's, I mean, why, because he said I came forth in the next verse, it kind of says, well, then you must have come forth from God, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably the way they looked at it.
The disciples said, now you're talking plainly, so now...
Yeah.
You don't speak no proverbs. now we are sure that you know all things, whatever else. And Jesus says, do you now believe? Does that kind of describe us? Well, I believe. Lord, if everybody else forsakes you, I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. Peter, you don't know your own self. Heathen, you don't know your own self. Only God knows, really knows us.
You know what's kind of interesting about that is he says that in just one, like verse 25, he's saying, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And in three verses, he explains it, and they get it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was thinking that he said that, and it was considerable time later that they said, now we see plainly, but it's right there.
Yeah. But then he says, Jesus says, do you now believe?
Yeah. Do you now believe?
Do you now believe? So after the resurrection, Thomas doesn't believe that he arose from the dead. And it's like these things that were hidden from him. Things are hidden from us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a thought. I don't know if you could spend enough time in John. You could just be going through John. Just
see, and I think
meditating on John, because there's so much there.
Right.
There's just so much in John.
I'll bet a whole bunch of the church doesn't believe that you can't see it at different times. No. We can figure this out.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like, no, it's not. We can figure it out.
There's an aspect of it that seems like we can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I was referring to. It seemed like you can, but you can't. You really can't. Yeah, but it seemed like you can. And the Holy Spirit guides us in such a way that it almost seemed like we've got it figured out.
Yeah. Every time that happens, I just remember that line of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for hiding this from the wise.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm getting just the, it's all clicking, and I go, I got it. And I'm going,
All that you've given to me, or all that I have, has come from the Father. That's what I want to keep reminding myself of.
Yep.
You know? Anything truth that's not me.
Anytime you start thinking a little bit too big, you go, wait a minute.
Yeah. And remind me of it if I ever sound like I am getting too big.
Yeah,
how hard is it to admit that you've been wrong? Not for the last 15 minutes, but for 20 years, 30 years?
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Yeah.
Now, if you love truth, and if you want truth, you at all times have to be willing to let go.
Yeah.
Of anything that you think you know to that point. You cannot have pride and love of truth at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and for as much as we think that we are right about what we believe, because we do, if not, we wouldn't believe it. Not only there's new things that we're going to learn, but there's things that there's room for modification. I don't know what things. Maybe there isn't, but there can be.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that we are wrong on anything, but our attitude needs to be willing to let go of what we believe if God is showing us something. You know what I mean? Just the attitude.
Yeah.
I'm not saying by no means that we are wrong someplace.
Couldn't agree more strongly.
Sure, we still are wrong in some
place. We have to be. There's no way.
Well, if you believe it's an unfolding revelation,
right?
Then you got to say, well, right now I don't have the whole revelation, so it's going to change. And to your point, I think that's why so many dogmatic Christians, people who feel they're in the Bible, feel they know, feel they've been taught right, have trouble with giving up the Trinity or accepting some truths, because that goes against what they believed for 30 years, and for whatever reason, whether they're unwilling to be open to see it or it hasn't been revealed to them. But I've been telling myself that I have to be open to being wrong about something in order to move forward. And the other side to that is, someone just comes in, joins the congregation, and in 3 weeks blows right by my knowledge, my understanding of God, and it's because God's chosen to reveal it to him or her, and not me. And how do you handle that? If they're sharing with you, you praise God, because it's not who gets it; it's as long as you get it. You know, and both of those things require humility. Humility is really important in my mind.
It's not who brings it, because it's God who's bringing it through whoever,
He's choosing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So you know.
So you got to be like.
Well, you know, the scripture where it says that that God is, you know, He says that none of those that are bidden, that were bidden, will taste of my supper. And the ones that were bidden, obviously, was a church. It's a church. And but what's wrong with the church? The church has embraced so many things that were false, that when God gets ready to move, the church is the hardest ones to do anything. You know what I'm saying? They can't let go. So what God did, and I think I kind of understand it, but so He says, go out into the highways and the byways, to the good and the bad, and compel them to come in, that my house might be full. And you know what? I think that this truth is a vital issue to God as well, and needs to be to us. And so, if the church itself won't embrace the truth, then those that are out in the highways and the byways will probably pick it up a lot faster than they can, because they can't let go of what they think is the truth.
All right.
The scriptures paint a really bad image of the church. I mean, during Jesus' ministry, the Jews were constantly plotting on how to diminish what He was saying or doing, because they were worried they'd lose their standing.
What I saw in the dream 50 years ago were people in the field. There was no church involved. It was people. There was people gathering out in the field. More and more and more people. I don't know. There's quite a few in the field. And I'm guessing there's a lot of those fields. You know, but that's just one that I happen to see. And,
well, I think we've seen it, and from talking to people, there's a lot of people who aren't so excited about church as they are excited about God. And so I think that revelation is sort of, I don't know, maybe because of social media and things, and people don't feel they have to go to a certain place, and they're more open to thinking like that. But it isn't the building, and it isn't the pastor, it's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can be anywhere and everywhere. And so I sense a lot of people, there's more, people are more open to that than they used to be.
Well, there's just more people discouraged with church. You know, I think God's actually bringing a little judgment, because especially right now at the Catholic Church.
One of the bigger churches.
I mean, there's another big area that they just opened up. Where was that? Is that here in Wisconsin? Or
I kind of stopped listening.
I don't know. Yeah, I just saw a little thing of it. That
somebody was talking about something.
There was like 40-some priests that were going to be investigated or whatever, you know. That's a lot. You know. I don't know where. I can't remember where exactly they said. I don't know if it was here or somewhere closer, but.
Yeah.
I don't remember something like in Philadelphia, something out east.
Well, that was a little while ago for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was. But, you know, it's just coming up more and more, and it's kind of like.
Yeah, well, God's revealing it.
Yeah.
Exposing it.
Which, you know, that eventually, see, that kind of starts getting people open to maybe everything isn't what they said. Maybe we should search to see, you know.
Yeah,
look somewhere else, you know.
When your faith is in an organization and not in God, He will shake you free of that.
If you're His, if he wants you,
if you're willing to keep following. I remember, you know, after everything changed in our lives, my prayer every night was just seeking God, just seeking God.
You remember that Lutheran guy that was listening to the scriptures over towards Nap?
Oh my gosh, Keith, it's like so long ago. Yeah, it's like 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were just getting started at that time.
Yeah, we were.
But anyway, here he was, and he'd given the same, same testimony.
Did you run into him when you were working or something?
No, he was a homeowner. Homeowner, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many of those are there?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I'm willing to guess a lot more than you think.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Obviously, there has to be.
Yeah. And so, it's all part of His plan, and that, you know, which is also good because I think we've been really good about it, but it's like we keep reminding ourselves that this isn't nothing special. This is happening in a lot of places. You know, so you can't elevate yourself up like, we've got this really great revelation, only us, you know. No. A lot of people have this revelation.
It has to be. Yeah. Heaven would be 7-8 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, it says that there was a number that no man could count. That were in heaven.
Yeah.
And,
there's a joke there, but I'm going to leave it alone.
There's
a joke there, but I'm going to leave it alone. Oh. There's so many people you can't count, huh? Oh. Yeah. Paulo, though, I really appreciate the point you brought up before about we have to be open to the fact that the revelation we have isn't complete. And in fact, though we could get enough revelation to realize that not only was it not complete, but we were, you know, closer to being quite wrong about something than thinking it was this way, mm-hmm. because and you almost have to hold on to that, otherwise if that can't happen, then you're saying I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't want to be caught saying
right.
I got it based on some of the comments that Jesus made.
It's a good possibility that the Lord is holding everything back so that we don't destroy ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we got too much too quick, and I looked at it and I thought, is there any chance that I could be lifted up in pride and whatever? And you know what it is? Of course there is. We're all vulnerable.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I don't think I could. And I think that my condition is one of the best things I could possibly have. I'm almost helpless.
to your point, God is good. His plan is perfect.
Yeah.
So there obviously was a reason for us, for us to go through the things we went through probably before you came to the congregation. And all the things that were happening that we thought were good and above the norm, and we were being blessed, and all of that had to happen. But then all that happened, and then just exposed the flesh that was still in us, and I think it's really helped me really focus on this as a foundation. And you know, it used to be cool to be a God chaser. Yeah. Then we kind of became like, well, wait a minute. Are you chasing God? Are you chasing the signs? And then, well, that became kind of ugly in a hurry. It's like, I don't know if I need to chase God if I got an open heart. God knows where I am. He's not going to require me to travel to so-and-so. You know, like, a lot of maturing in different ways that have gone on. And I think, though, we had to have those experiences to get our heart to be at the spot where otherwise I would have, like, I don't know what they're doing, you know. Would have been too quick to reject.
You know, we keep saying, the Holy Spirit teaches us on no intellect and no, you know, like thought process. In a way, I think we need to, I'm not saying we need to use our intellect, because we don't. But, you know, the Bible says, you know, in these things meditate day and night. So it's not like you just listen to it and you're like, you know, like...
Catatonic.
It's okay to ponder. And it's okay to think about the scriptures. It's not okay to try to figure it out. But when it says to meditate is to think, to keep your mind busy in a way with it. And again, I want to emphasize, not into try to figure it out or to study so you can see it. And then, but we do talk a lot about, again, you know, just, you know, let the scriptures do the work, which they do. The Word of God will do the work from inside out. But there's no guilt, I don't think, in pondering, you know, hey, I heard the scripture. Listen, the scripture, what is that scripture? And I think that's perfectly fine. That's the Holy Spirit. There's got to be the Holy Spirit.
Oh,
because in order for me to be saying what I'm saying right now, that requires a little bit of brain power, a little bit. You know what I mean? And just, so your brain has a little bit of a job there. You know what I mean? But
you know what? Your brain, yeah, but really, and that's separate from your intellect in a way.
Yes, yes, you know? It is separate from your intellect. Your brain helps you breathe, it keeps your heart beating.
Yeah, there's lots of functions of the brain.
Right.
So no, as you were saying that, a lot of times I'll hear something and I'll go, well, gee,
yeah,
I wonder if that's this or this. And then, you know, you might all of a sudden get another scripture that will help you with it.
Yeah.
Or you go, well, I'm just going to kind of, in my listening, see if God gives an answer to that.
Right.
So, yeah, you do have to ponder. Like, you know, like you look and you saw a guide and that, you know, that hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you followed up on it a little, and so you want more understanding.
Right.
So, yeah.
It gave me a better understanding.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. I don't have a full understanding, but it gave me a better understanding.
No, and it kept, how you said, at first I thought, now he's going to say, so I can think something, but you didn't. You came right up to that, and then you went, but it's because the Holy Spirit guides you to that. You know, and it is. You get guided through the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how else do you see something?
That's what the Holy Spirit uses.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how else do you see a scripture over here that all of a sudden lines up with one in a whole different book of the Bible? You know, and not
so what is book, the, but what the book the, of the Bible. The church that you're part of teaches you that the Word of God contains God's Word, but it's not really God. It's not fully God's Word. There's more. You're handicapped.
Right. There isn't more.
Yeah, we're trying to find a description for guide. But if you think as a guide, as the only thing I got because of who I am is a hunting guide or a fishing guide. So you hire him. Let's say it's a fishing guide. So you go in a boat and you
sit there.
No, I don't know. The guy tells you, okay, grab the ball, throw it over there. But you are visiting the base. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
He's guiding. That's a yeah. guide when you go hunting. You don't sit there, and the guy watches over deer and shoots the deer for you. You're still, when you're guided, you're told what to do. So you're still doing something. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? They don't do it for you.
And then you don't, of course, now the little difference is with that, eventually you don't use a guide all the time.
Right.
But we would want to be always using
yes,
the
yes,
Holy Spirit
course.
As a guide.
Always.
You know.
Yes.
But always. that is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, go here, or yeah, this area, or do this, you know.
Right. I think your point, though, is really valid. It's not.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's the guide doesn't do the work.
Right.
You're supposed to do the work. Mm-hmm. You know, back to your other point a little bit, you know, so you're exactly right, and it's one of those things you got to be very careful about, whether, you know, am I using wisdom, or am I using intellect, or am I letting the Holy Spirit? And so, you know, so you read a passage, and then you remember another passage, mm-hmm. different book. Well, did you remember that? Did the Holy Spirit guide that? And I look at that, if I use Scripture to validate Scripture, I'm on solid ground. If I see a scripture and then I decide to say, you know, I think this means this, and I'm doing that not because of something else in the Word, but I'm just speculating. That's when the intellect starts kicking in. Like,
sure.
I wonder if this means this, or this sign, this symbol means this, and I'm going, well. Did I come up with that myself, or did the Holy Spirit guide me to a different verse or somewhere else where it backs up this or it doesn't back it up? And that's sort of kind of how I've been like, am I making this up, or am I kind of referring to Scripture? Is God showing me a different way that this is? Because how many times have we had a Scripture, and then someone talks, and they share, and then all of a sudden said, well, you know, what occurred to me was this, and they point to a different scripture, and then it flavors that scripture just a little bit, and you see it in a slightly different vein, and then all of a sudden the revelation sort of takes a root and grows. But it wasn't like, I'm pretty sure that refers to, you know, this. They go, well, over here it says this. And that's kind of how I differentiate between me versus the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. You know, and see, if you keep getting enough of the Word of God in you, there are basic principles that get established, you know. Certain, like, well, what would you say? Righteous thoughts and you know, godly thinking that all of a sudden get tunes into things a little quicker.
So, yeah, or you hear them quicker because you're...
Yeah, it brings it out mm-hmm. quicker because you're
right.
grounded a little bit in,
right.
in that particular area maybe
right.
or whatever,
right.
you know.
Not to take a giant step backwards, but I'd say the Spirit of God in you
is
more attuned.
Right. Yeah.
Because you have been diligently seeking
mm-hmm.
and... He's been faithful.
Yeah.
And the thing, we have to make what we're understanding fit with certain scriptures that are in the Bible. For instance, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit's involved at all. you know what I mean? But you have to have the rest of the scriptures with that.
Right. You know, I was just thinking. Is this, I mean, okay, I'll just make a statement. Is the Word of God His divine nature?
Yes.
So, if you keep taking it in, you start having that scripture that's spoken... come true.
You know? Yeah. There's a scripture in Hebrews 11 that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Mm-hmm.
Without faith. And then up go further in the third verse, it says, by faith, or through faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God.
Right.
Through faith. And so, faith is a kind of a hard to come by substance. It says it's a substance.
That's good. I like that because, see, if you don't have faith, of course you try to think of the world as being formed by a big bang and through
but then it says
evolution.
It says in Romans, it says,
yeah,
faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God.
Right.
But you know what? It doesn't come by hearing a false interpretation.
Right.
It has to. Faith can only come by hearing the truth.
And you know, then it just becomes your. It's like you don't have any doubts about God formed the worlds.
I'm having less and less.
And
so are you guys.
Yeah.
I can tell by listening to you.
And so I don't have to argue it with anybody. I just know in my spirit he did, because he's given it.
And it will link the humanity of Christ.
Yeah.
Anybody can say anything they want. I got all these scriptures.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't fall out of the air and land on them. The Holy Spirit was there guiding us to these scriptures. Guiding us. And you know how he does it? He gives you a scripture in the service, and he guides us, and the next thing you know, got it.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
And then the next person.
Let the prophet speak.
Yeah.
And let him be revealed that you all might learn. We're learning from each other.
See, mm-hmm. and now I'm beginning to see that when they argue that he can't be, they're missing the whole reason why he was supposed to be, because you need to be connected to him for your salvation.
Yeah.
And that can exactly. only be done if he was a man, because he had to bleed, he had to do all these things. And then he didn't go back and turn into God, because there's too many other scriptures that just totally say that's not true.
And then you get, like, in the 6th chapter of Romans, where it says that we are buried with him by baptism.
Yeah. That's the key. Buried with him in baptism.
Burial and resurrection.
Right.
Those are the terms used in there. How do you do that with God? It's a man. And
just for a record, I'm going to make a statement again. The ones that say, well, God became a man. Well, there's a scripture that says God cannot lie because he's
not a man.
He's not a man.
He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should lie.
Yeah, God is not a man that he should lie.
Yeah. Now, who is it? Is it, I don't know, is Thomas or Philip? Want to say, my Lord and my God.
Thomas.
What?
Right after.
We've kind of been on that one a little bit. Do we leave it alone for now?
Well,
you know what? It's probably maybe I want to justify it a little bit. But if I was standing here, and Jesus is in front of me, I'd go, "My Lord and my God." That you sent my Lord, you know, or whatever. Right. It could be, who knows?
That's acceptable.
It doesn't say that necessarily, but, I mean, if you look at all the other scriptures, it's like you can't really be calling Jesus God, because he isn't,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And they knew that.
And they knew that.
The apostles had no, they were not confused about that.
No.
There were a lot of things that, there was parables that were said that there wasn't clear to them. They didn't understand right away, but I mean, they knew he was a man.
You know, this subject of who Jesus is or isn't. You know, he's God, he's not God, he's a man, he's part of an egg, whatever it is.
I heard that last one before. Yeah, okay.
He
this issue has been going on since Jesus was conceived.
Right.
Because they said, who do men say that I am? I said, well, some say this, some say this, some say this, some say this.
Yeah.
You know, it has always been discrepancy of who Jesus is. Well, but who you say, you know. It's almost like it's pointing at, the scripture is pointing at, like, you're always, there's always going to be misconception.
Always going to be that. Yeah, you know, because it requires faith. Yeah.
The one thing that's important in that.
Yeah. Right, Chuck.
He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
Right.
Yeah. He tells them, "Who do other people say I, who am?"
Yeah, right. Say
that I am. The thing that's important to realize, especially today, is there was one statement at the age where they said he was God.
Right. No.
They didn't say, "Well, you're God." Mm-hmm. Or you're God.
No. Closest they came to was that you were the Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, sent by God. Yeah, no, I.
Yeah, got a goofy.
Well, but we touched on it, and you did, the quarter two scriptures, and it's really important. You cannot fully receive what the Holy Spirit wants to guide you to without faith.
Yeah.
Because some of it, the way God's presenting it, you just have to believe. You know, it's not like, yeah, one and one is two. It's, you just have to have faith that this is the way it is. And once you have that faith, then the Holy Spirit can come in, and then truth you can gain from Him.
But
it's...
What's the thing that we've seen? All of us. The thing we're seeing right now. It really doesn't take, it doesn't seem like it takes a lot to believe in God. No. You know, it doesn't seem like it.
You know, and just like this,
because He's gotten us to a certain place. But
there's a lot of people that don't believe in God.
Just look at where we were starting from, though.
What you guys have seen, and I've seen. You know, I get a start with Jerome and some things that happened. God says, only God can do this. In the book of the end, only God can do this. How else did I do it? If God didn't do it, how did I do it? You know what I mean? The guy is dying. He came up on his deathbed.
You know, Jesus, just like there's always been an issue about who Jesus is, this thing about what men say versus what God says, it strikes me funny a little bit when Jesus tells someone, says, what is that to you if I want this man to live until I come?
Well, he is rebuking
Peter.
He's talking about John rebuking Peter.
Okay, so what is that to you if I want this man to live until I come?
Yeah.
Okay, so they told, hey, Jesus, everybody's saying that you're going to let this guy live forever. It's like, no, that's not what I said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, John is the one that says, but that's not what was...
Yeah, John clarified it.
John clarifies it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but there was a miscommunication. There was a miss.
Someone said they thought they heard something, but they didn't.
Right.
Yes.
So there was a miss. Jesus says one thing, and then as soon as he gets to man, it goes, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you got to get it from Jesus, you know what I mean? Or from God, you know?
It's a strange thing, because John he never uses his own name.
No.
What he says the disciple who Jesus loved.
Yeah.
That was quite a thing for him to say that.
Or the disciple that runs much faster than the other disciple.
But then was afraid to go in.
which was also a shame. And Peter. Good old Peter. Fully go where, like a bull in a china shop.
Is there anywhere where God ever... I don't believe there's anywhere where God ever showed up as anything, right? Angel showed up speaking from God. You know, is there any time that God ever had a form that he appeared to men?
Well, Abraham saw two men coming, and he said one of them was God. But it doesn't mean it was God. God didn't have a form. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. So that's why I'm saying, so when you go back to Thomas, how could he be seeing God when God's a spirit? You know, so I mean, there's a thing there. You know, and there's another place where Jesus did miracles, and the people, and it says, and the people praised God.
Praised God, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I know they were doing him. They were praising God because of whom God had sent.
Right, yes.
You know?
Yes. And that's why it's so misleading in John 14, where he says, he that has seen me.
Right.
And you know how you get that?
You've seen God. And on the natural, it's kind of like, wait a minute.
I said the next verse, but people never bother to read verse 10.
Well,
it's the Father that's in me that's doing the works.
Yeah.
A lot of times people are cherry picking verses to make their point.
Which we
We're all guilty of that to a point, unless you say, well, this is what I see. What else do I need to see? What else don't have, you know?
Well, the reason why Jesus says, if you see me, you've seen God, is because Jesus is, in fact, the express image of God.
Right.
And what is an image? An image is not the thing. An image is a reflection. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just think, look at your mirror. It's like, Gorky, shake my hand. Okay, shake your hand. I can't shake hands with the guy in the mirror. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, Jesus is an image.
Right.
So that's why you see God. This is not a metaphor. Jesus is an image. The image of the living God, the express image.
Yeah.
So that's why you can see God in Jesus, because Jesus is a reflection of God. Mm-hmm. You know? He's being...
In Jesus' case, a really, really good reflection.
A really good reflection,
the
yes.
The fullness of God.
Not blurring enough. However, that doesn't make him God.
And people, are they not going to see God in those that are his people?
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... We just don't have the degree that Jesus had immediately, basically, you know.
Well,
because he was sinless for one,
and he made that comment, by the way, just at a point. He made that comment late in his ministry. I mean, it's just before the crucifixion, and he says, "Have I been with you so long that you know?" And they said, "Just show us God." He goes, "If you've seen me, you've seen God." And so, I mean, that was after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It was after the walk and all of that. And so it was kind of, to me, he makes that comment just before, you know, he gets his ultimate test.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of interesting, the timing of that.
This one time Jesus, I don't remember the kid, why, but like he went to the wilderness or he went someplace, he wanted to be alone. But they follow him, they found him.
Yeah, he went up into the mountains to pray, it says.
But some of the times he
managed till morning.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't blame him at all. Because, again, I mean, these disciples, like, show me the Father. They're like, oh, my God. Just picture us. It's like, oh, these guys. You know what I mean?
Here's another big difference with him. He's been ministering all day.
Right.
I'd go to bed, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And not go up in the mountains to pray the rest of the night.
Well,
that's where, when you get to that point, boy, you know you're getting really close.
Didn't he go off and pray for like 40 days at one point?
Well, right away in his minute, right away with the, yeah.
Yeah, and it, you know, didn't really eat or anything. He just, you know, just did this and you kind of go, that's different. Don't see that every day, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
When deliverance started and I was zapped, I was really, really full of the Spirit. I couldn't sleep more than 4 or 5 hours a night. I didn't have to.
Yeah.
God took care of the rest of it, but I would go to bed, and Joanne couldn't sleep in the same bed, because the bed shook. Just that spirit was on me. And I, it left after a while, but... So, how much sleep did he need?
Well, yeah. See, I mean, that's the other thing. You're that sold out to God. God can keep you with
sleep.
He
only needs as much sleep as God wants him to have.
Yeah, how about meat? Yeah. My meat is to do the will of my Father. So his sleep is to do the will of the Father. He's everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Pastor, we brought you some food. I don't need any food.
I have food which you not know. That was kind of like, I don't need that food. I need that.
Easily, just like we hear.
However.
We can make our own scripture, you know. I got sleep that you don't know of. Yeah.
However, if he could feed 5,000, he could probably get a sandwich on his
See, I think that might be you. I don't recall the scriptures saying that. If you want to sprinkle that leaven in there, go right ahead. I don't know about that.
Don't make any doctrines on that.
The hidden sandwich doctrine. is that enough sharing for one night?
Yeah. If you could maybe remember this one.
Thank you, everyone. God bless.